The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
We were looking at the topic of how do we survive living in an ocean of corruption, that we are surrounded by temptation all around us, and that we are struggling for the most part to stay afloat, to be able to preserve our identity as Muslims, as believers, as followers of the Ahlul Bayt. May God's peace and blessings be upon them. And one of the things that I did highlight last night that I just want to further elaborate on in 1 or 2 minutes is, although the discussion last night was aimed primarily at the youth, and that was kind of the angle we had taken it, but I don't mean to say that what we talked about last night, living in an ocean of corruption, is in any way only limited to the youth. No, because we are human beings, whether we're 18 or 50 years old, and there is always temptation out there. The sins of the flesh can be things which will be attractive to people of any age. And really the only time you stop having those desires is when you are 6 feet under the ground. So I want to just kind of clarify that, you know, although the topic was youth-oriented, but it also does mean that we all have to be aware, you know, and, you know, many of us work in the corporate world or we're actively engaged in dealing with people of the opposite gender at school, at work, whatever age we are. And so there is always that level of temptation. And the goal is to, you know, recognize that those are desires that Allah has put within us, between the man and the woman. But we are to channel those energies or those desires in the permissible ways that God has given to us as believers. Tonight we continue in our discussion on how to live that pure Islamic life. The one that we talked about on the very first night, where Allah told us to answer the call of Allah and the Messenger when they call us to that which gives us life. اِسْتَجِيبُ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. And we move on to another topic for tonight. We looked at yesterday living in this ocean of corruption, and that the goal is that our youth especially, but all of us, preserve our Muslim identity. Because of the fact that, as Imam Hassan ibn Ali al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam mentioned in the hadith I mentioned yesterday, that the youth of today, who are the children, in the future they will be the adults, they will be the leaders and the movers in our community. The question, however, that we want to try and answer tonight is that on that path, on that road of purification, of trying to develop the necessary requisites to stay on this path of the Prophet and his family, are we obligated to spoon feed our children all that they need? Are we obligated as parents, as community leaders, as whatever we call ourselves, are we obligated to give everything on a silver platter to our children, to the youth, to the next generation? Or do they also share in the responsibility of ensuring that they are following the path of guidance? You know, we have this very interesting story that shows us at one level what the responsibility is. And this is an event that takes place at the time of our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. The sixth Imam, as we know, was in Medina, where he was born and he was brought up and he left this world. And one day a man named Abu Ja'far al-Ahwal, he comes from Basra, from Iraq, to the Medina to meet the Imam. He comes into the presence of the Imam. They have their, you know, chit-chat, their formalities. He sits down, he's talking to the Imam. And then the point of the hadith that I want to get to, the sixth imam asks Abu Ja'far, he says that, you know, you've come from Basra, thousands of kilometers away. What is the situation of the Shia community in Basra? How many people do you have in your community, so to speak? I'm paraphrasing the hadith. But he says, how many people are in Basra that are adherent to Hadha al-Amr, to this walaya, to the mastership of the Ahlul Bayt? How many Shias do you have in Basra? And he says, wallah, there are very few of us Shias out there. And then the Imam says that, you know, he follows up asking him about more about the condition of the Shia community of Basra. And the Imam says, how many people are actively working on this path? And again, Abu Ja'far says, you know what, there's very, very few people who are active in being on the path and propagating it and teaching it. Meaning from the older generation especially. And this is where the Imam says to him, Alayka bil ahdath. I advise you to work on the youth, because he says, فَإِنَّهُمْ أَسْرَعُوا إِلَىٰ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ, because the youth are quick to act and respond to goodness when you give it to them. Right? Not that the seniors of our communities, we kick them to the curb and we don't care about them. No, we have a place in our community. We have to have a place for our seniors that they feel comfortable in the masjid. If our seniors are not comfortable, let's say in English language programming, we have to offer them something in their language. You know, we have to ensure that rather than our seniors going to retirement homes and seniors homes that are run by non-Muslims where they won't be given halal food or have a halal environment, that rather than spending millions and millions on masajid where people are competing with one another in the same city or the same location for the biggest center, that we build facilities for our seniors, as some of our communities in Europe have done that I have seen, where they have seniors' homes that are run and staffed by nurses from within our community. Right? We don't just say, well, now they're 70, 80 years old, they're worthless. No, we have to worry about our seniors, brothers and sisters. We can't ignore them. But the Imam here is saying that when it comes to religious guidance, look towards the youth. Because, you know, when you're old, like me, when you got a couple of white hairs and you begin to feel that you're one step closer to death, although knowledge is still important, you're still, and we're always seeking knowledge even when we get old. But, you know, it has a different impact when you're old. It has different application when you're old compared to when you're 14, 15, 16, when you're in your teenage years learning knowledge. Right? And that's why even the hadith tell us that knowledge when you're young is like when you engrave something on a rock, when you chisel something on a rock. It won't go away. But knowledge when you're old is like writing on water. Right? You take a ballpoint pen or an ink pen and you try to write on a glass of water, it's going to just dissolve immediately. I don't say we ignore the seniors. No, they have a place in our community. But when it comes to the religious guidance, we need to ensure that we focus on the next generation.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareemun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyim وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.